Portions of this program are pre-recorded.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Yes, indeed. Glad to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. The Joe Pags Show coming your way. Megyn Kelly on the program today. We talk about whether she got her fifth bag back. We talk about the changing forces of nature in this country and beyond, about how we use language. We've got to show who's he and her, who's she and him, who's they and them, who's he and zim. We talk about that. Plus, what is the trusted source of real journalism? How do you know what to believe when it comes to what we're told on news stories? Because so often we find out that that wasn't true. We got that for you and an awful lot more. Two-part series. It'll be part one tonight, part two tomorrow with Megyn. Also, Dr. John Deloney, he's written a book about anxiety. We talk about anxiety in the face of COVID, who is somebody who is important to society, who is somebody who is not important to society. Remember, we were told these workers were ones we had to have. These you could just sit at home, we'll send you a check. We talk about that, reintegrating ourselves in society, and much more. Plus, we talk about the big primaries from last night on a Wednesday. Let's go. Woo! Carrie, how's it going?
It's going okay.
Excellent. Polo, making it happen. Empty chair, but nice logo in the background. Sam, what's happening? How you doing? Getting it done, turns out. A little hominy for you. Let's break it down. Carrie, you breaking it down?
No. Not until hour three.
Cabbage patch. A little wave the hands over the heads. Raise the roof, like the kids do. I don't really know how to dance this one. Wait, what do I do now? I'm rhythmic. There I go. Okay. All right. Lots going on a Wednesday. So watching the primaries last night, you had five states. You had Arizona, Missouri, Kansas, Michigan, and Washington State. And I'm watching this, and the big story of the night is Carrie Lake, who we started having on this program like a year ago. We've had her on seven times, eight times, something like that. Love having her on. I consider her a friend. And just watching what was going on last night in Arizona, it made me cringe. It felt an awful lot like 2020 again. We'll talk about that coming up. It turns out the MAGA, the America First candidates, I don't think any of them lost. I think they all won. Although former President Trump was certainly hedging his bets when he said he's pulling for Eric in Missouri. Eric did win, Carrie, turns out.
Yeah, because he was running against Eric.
Eric, yeah. Mm. So we're not really, that would be like saying, I hope Bill wins and there are four Bills running. But yeah, he did very well last night. To the media's dismay, to Meghan McCain's dismay, I guess that she early on was dancing on the grave of the career of Carrie Lake, and then later had to sort of, you know, back off of that and complain that she doesn't like Carrie Lake or whatever. But we'll talk about all of that. We had this news that I just saw pop up an hour or two ago about a U.S. representative out of Indiana who's been killed in a car accident. Carrie, what do you have on that?
From the Independent Journal Review, Representative Jackie Walorski and three other people have died in a car crash in Indiana. Erica Fink, a reporter for WSBT, tweeted on Wednesday, U.S. Congresswoman Jackie Walorski has been killed in a crash that happened at 12:32 p.m. in Elkhart County on SR 19, south of SR 119. A northbound passenger car traveled left of center and collided head-on with a southbound vehicle. Walorski, Zachary Potts with the St. Joseph County Republican Party, and Walorski's communications director, Emma Thompson, all passed away, she continued. Fink added the driver of the northbound car was also killed in the crash. In a statement, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said Dean Swihart, Jackie's husband, was just informed by the Elkhart County Sheriff's Office. Jackie was killed in a car accident this afternoon. She has returned home to be with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He continued, please keep her family in your thoughts and prayers. We will have no further comment at this time.
That really sucks. I did not know the congresswoman. I did not have her on the program, but here is somebody, I went through her Twitter feed, somebody who was like-minded, but that doesn't matter. I mean, she's gone now, and it just sounds like some horrible accident where the northbound person came into her lane and just hit that car head-on or that SUV head-on. Sad to hear about the loss of all three of them. And certainly, you know, we're going to be adding them to our prayers. You hate to hear about something like that. Just hate to hear. I mean, just out of the blue. You know, I checked these certain news sources all day, and this is what ended up happening. I know that the guy who's running for District 2, who's another Republican, emailed me, or a person representing himself as him. He was also saying how saddened he was by it. I had heard about it before that, but it just sucks. Horrible news. All right, I wanted to talk about the primary from last night. And by the way, those of you listening in Indiana, I'm very sorry for the loss for the community. And to her family, if they happen to be, you know, catch wind of what we're talking about, again, we're adding you to our prayers. As I'm watching it unfold last night, you're starting to see the big media sort of dance around because Kari Lake was down like 49% to 40. But that was early on, and Kari kept on tweeting, and I texted back and forth with her a little bit. As I'm watching it unfold, I'm like, what's going on? And then I tweeted something like, voting in Arizona is broken. And that went nuts. That actually, people saw that. You're getting more tweets, more updates. Then you're starting to hear we're going to stop counting for tonight. That's it, folks. We're going home for the night. I guess Pinal County, which is where our good friend Sheriff Mark Lamb is the sheriff, they couldn't get it right when it came to voting. Some precincts saying we showed up to vote and they ran out of ballots an hour in Arizona. Arizona listens. We're on in Phoenix. We're on in a couple of places there. What the hell's going on? I don't understand why you guys can't get it right. Enough is enough. It is time to just have people go and vote. Have ballots ready. Have the machines ready. Have the computer screen. Whatever you have to have ready, have them ready for when people show up. I mean, the news that I got out of that area was that there was a flood of people waiting in line to go and vote. Kari Lake was tweeting out, if you're in line by 7 o'clock, they have to let you vote. And she's urging people to keep on getting out there and voting. Now, she did end up winning at the end of the day, but I don't understand why there has to be some sort of, you know, wrangling and anxiety over going and casting a vote. In America, this is your privilege. This is your duty. I think your solemn duty to go and vote. It should be easy. We should be able to go there, show an ID that we're a citizen, we're allowed to vote, and then cast the ballot. So, Kerry, if you don't mind, I know you've got a nuts and bolts on what ended up happening last night. I'm pretty sure all of the America First people that Trump was pulling for did end up winning. What do you have?
From CBS, votes were cast Tuesday in 5 states, including some that were battlegrounds in 2020 and will be again in 2024. Kansas voters voted to preserve abortion access Tuesday night as abortion faced its first test at the ballot box since the Supreme Court struck down.
I just have to interrupt. I'm sorry. CBS starts at the abortion vote in Kansas?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. All right. Again, this is not something Kerry wrote. This is from obviously a mainstream media outlet. CBS is a mainstream outlet, and I'm glad that you identified them. But the fact that they think that the important thing that happened last night was the Kansas vote is ridiculous, as it for a long time looked like people in Arizona couldn't vote. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
In Arizona, former President Donald Trump's rallied for his allies in the races for Senate, Governor, and Secretary of State. Arizona is one of the key battleground states that went for President Biden in 2020. After the election, some Republicans in the state tried to overturn the results with a plan to send a slate of phony alternate electors who supported Trump to Congress for the Electoral College certification rather than the electors won by Mr. Biden. In the Republican primary to take on Democratic Senator Mark Kelly in November, Trump-backed Blake Masters, who had a comfortable lead according to two polls ahead of the primary. CBS News projects Masters will win his race in advance to face Kelly. For governor, former TV news anchor Kari Lake and lawyer Karen Taylor Robson were in a tight contest for the GOP nomination, and that repeats a dynamic between Trump and former Vice President Mike Pence. Trump has backed Lake, while Pence, along with term-limited sitting Republican Governor Doug Ducey, have backed Taylor Robson. Last month, Trump and Pence held dueling rallies for Lake and Robson on the same day. Trump also backed the opponent of State House Speaker Rusty Bowers, who testified in June at a House January 6th committee public hearing and ran for a state Senate seat. CBS News projects David Farnsworth, Bowers' opponent, will defeat Bowers, with Farnsworth enjoying a sizable lead as of this morning. In Missouri, CBS News projects Attorney General Eric Schmidt, who's been leading the crowded field, wins the Republican nomination for the open Senate seat in Missouri. Eric Greitens, the former governor who resigned in 2018 and has faced allegations of domestic abuse, led early in the race, but an $11 million ad blitz by two anti-Greitens groups chipped it away. In Missouri's first congressional district, CBS News projected incumbent Representative Cori Bush, who unseated a longtime incumbent in 2020, will win her primary. In Michigan, CBS News projects John Gibbs defeats incumbent Representative Peter Meyer. One of the 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach Trump. Trump had backed Gibbs in the primary. Gibbs will now face Democratic nominee Hillary Scholten in the general election. In the race to take on Governor Gretchen Whitmer, CBS News projected Tudor Dixon will win the Republican nomination. Dixon, backed by Trump, had been seen by Republican strategists as the strongest candidate to take on Whitmer. In Washington, the top two vote-getters will advance to the general election regardless of party affiliation. Republican Representative Jaime Arrieta Butler in the 3rd District and Dan Newhouse in the 4th District both face the risk of being shut out because of Trump-backed challengers. Kansas voted to preserve abortion access, voting no on a proposition to amend the state constitution, marking the first time a state has voted on abortion since the Supreme Court struck down Roe v. Wade.
All right. Thank you for doing that. Yeah. Meyer is actually there's a big string of like grocery slash almost Walmart stores. Some of those are grocery slash department store. Everybody goes to Meyer when they're going to go and buy something. I'm guessing he's part of the family. But this guy voted to impeach Donald Trump, and he's a Republican. That's why Trump backed the other guy, and that's why he's on the way out. Yeah, it's interesting, Kerry. And by the way, thank you for doing that, and I appreciate you grabbing a CBS because – and I'm going to ask you, tell me no if you don't think so. Mm-hmm. But as I'm listening to you read that, I feel the slant of the story was to negate the positive wins by Trump candidates and almost talk about how they were trying to pick off real candidates. It felt negative to me about the Trump people.
I would agree with that statement.
Because I know you're writing and I know that you're news delivering. You're always very even-handed. I can't tell which side you're on the issue because I shouldn't be able to tell. When you've got a CBS, I mean, to start out with the abortion vote, that is not the most important thing that happened last night. The most important thing that happened last night was that people in Arizona started to look like they were going to be disenfranchised when it came to voting. When you show up at a precinct at one of the most populated counties in the state and they run out of ballots an hour in, that's a problem. When people are waiting in line and couldn't get up there, And somebody has to tell them, wait in line, they have to let you vote, that's a problem. I mean, it seemed like there was some fishy stuff going on. I got to tell you something. The first time in my life that I had ever seen, we're not going to know who wins tonight, probably was in 2000 between Bush and Gore. But that was one race, and it was so tight, and it was down to one county, they had to go back and recount a few times. And every recount showed that Bush won. Don't let anybody lie to you about the 2000 election. He won Palm Beach County, Florida. Having said that, every other election has been added up, tallied up. The results have been given that night until 2020. Suddenly in 2020, we've got a water main break in Atlanta, which there really wasn't one. That was a lie. We're still counting votes in Detroit, and they just stopped at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and some 6,000 votes had to be overturned in one county alone. You had in Philadelphia, you couldn't have election observers watch. They decided to stop counting as well. I've never seen it where they just stopped counting. I thought you just kept counting until you had a winner. So I found that whole thing to be very strange. And then last night, Arizona announces, we're just going to stop counting. And I mean, there were calls for resignations for people who were county executives, people who were secretaries of state, or I mean, you should just resign or you should be fired summarily because you couldn't get voting right. And now as I look at it, Kerry, all of the precincts or all of the results that I'm seeing in the Arizona gubernatorial election between Karen Taylor Robeson, and Kerry Lake. Kerry Lake is now up 46% to 44%.
Yeah.
But they're only saying 80% of the precincts reporting.
Yeah. I just saw that on Fox News, too. So
they're not calling it yet? Are you serious?
No. Nope.
Now, again, keep in mind, after the early voting, it was about 40% in. It was, are you saying Robeson or Robeson? What are we saying?
I was saying Robeson.
Okay. So Robeson was up 49 to 40 with about 40% of the precincts in. Now that 80% of the precincts are in, it's Kerry Lake 46.2 and Robeson 44.4. So we're going to keep on watching this, but suddenly, you know, there's 20% of the vote still out there and we don't have a decision made yet in Arizona. A full day after the voting should have been done. I mean, that's stunning. So your thoughts about what you saw last night. We will get into the abortion stuff because Joe Biden's Twitter account, it's not him, it's somebody else, Whoever's tweeting on his account already contradicted themselves on abortion. Karine Jean-Pierre gets abortion wrong as well. So we talk about that too. But I mean, at some point, don't we have to put our feet down as Americans and say, hey, you should be able to add these up tonight. And you can't add them up tonight, then you can't work in doing this because you're not getting the job done for the citizenry. The people of Arizona should know who the Republican nominee is for the governor of the great state of Arizona. Now, the difference in votes is about 12,000 votes between Kari Lake and Robson. About 12,000. But they have to fix this in Arizona. You can't keep playing this game. This has to be fixed. And good job, Michigan. Tudor Dixon is a very good candidate. We'll have her on the show again soon, hopefully. Getting rid of Meyer was a very smart thing to do because the guy is no good. And voting to impeach Trump made no sense. It just shows me he's not smart. So that was good as well. And Kansas, we'll talk about the whole abortion vote as well as we go during the program. Your thoughts on what you're seeing the day after we should know the results of elections across the country. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Coming right back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you. Thanks. I appreciate you stopping by. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to get to. Want to remind you about Gold Co. Great company. I'm not very happy about it. You're not very happy about it. War, inflation, over $30 trillion in debt. That's what we face as Americans. It's looking like 2008 all over again when millions of Americans watch their retirement savings simply disappear. While those who invested in physical gold and silver were protected, if you got $50,000 or more in your IRA, your 401k, or savings, you could be at risk again. Right now, thousands of Americans are using an IRS loophole to add physical gold and silver to their retirement savings. So call Gold Co. right now at 855-936-GOLD. Get a free gold IRA kit. Learn how thousands are protecting their retirement savings and adding $10,000 or more in free silver to do it. Gold Co. is a company I recommend for gold and silver, and they've helped place over $1 billion in precious metals. Could be looking at a recession worse than 2008. Make sure you plan ahead. And again, if you've got investments like I just talked about, don't wait. Call Gold Co. today. 855-936-GOLD. 855-936-GOLD. Tell them Joe Pag sent you when you make that call. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you taking the time. John is out in Albuquerque. John, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe, good to talk to you again.
Thanks, man.
I honestly think that the reason there's always these screw-ups in Arizona and other places is mail-in ballots. And if you're a person with a disability or you're elderly, and that's reasonable. That makes sense that if you can't get to the ballot box, you're in that category, you need to mail it in. But I'm sorry, all these lazy people that are, especially when they're younger and I mean by younger is like under 50, right? They mail them in. I think that would do a lot is that if we just minimized mail-in ballots to vulnerable people that just are going to have a difficult time getting to the ballot box, that would really help. Everybody else, guess what? You got to go in person whether you like it or not. That's my opinion.
Well, John, I appreciate that. And I said it yesterday, go and vote. I don't see why you're not going and voting. And then, of course, Washington State called in and said, well, we do everything by mail here. An absentee mail-in ballot makes sense to me. If you prove who you are, it's validated by the Secretary of State or the clerk's office, whatever, or the election commission, whatever it happens to be in your state. And then you can vote that way. By the way, the whole idea, like in 2020, when they were saying you can, if the ballot's received by 3 days after the election or 9 days after the election, whatever the hell it was. No, the ballot will have to be received by election day. It'll have to be counted on election day. If you get it in late, you disenfranchised yourself. No law did that. No official did that. You did that. If your ballot's important to you and you need an absentee ballot for fill-in-the-blank reason, make sure that that ballot is sent in after you've been verified that it's you and is received by the time Election Day comes to an end. It's pretty simple. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Your thoughts about elections not being done and the winner not being known on Election Day. Keep it here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pag Show.
Hi, glad to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. It's the Joe Pag Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. Go to the website, joepags.com, and just scroll down to the bottom, click on contact. It'll send an email right to me, or you'll see all the social media, whichever one is your favorite. Click on it. Go there and go follow me there. The only one that you don't bother clicking on is TikTok, because I'm not doing any TikTok videos anymore. Those videos, and I did one today on The View and on Whoopi Goldberg being stupid, talking about how God endorses somehow abortion. Make sure that you go there and click on the social media that you like. I do those come on videos now on Instagram, so go and check that out. And somebody sent me a moving GIF for my website, for my chat room, because we do a live video feed of the program as well. Just click on watch now at the website, joepags.com, that says come on. I might use that. We'll see if we add that to the roster. Meantime, we're talking about the election from yesterday. By today, we should know who won the Republican nomination for governor of the great state of Arizona. We don't. 80% in, and Carrie Lake is leading, but she hasn't won, not been declared by others. She seems to be declaring it, which I don't blame her. And Trump is claiming victory as well. I don't blame him. And I think that at the end of the day, if the count is fair, she will win. People are talking about how those who are claiming fraud in the election, that Trump won in the election in 2020, they're the ones that are winning the elections in the primaries. And I guess the left media hates that. Well, too bad. And by the way, let's just talk about that for a second. The election happened in 2020, and people were calling states way early. Fox News called Arizona way too early, way too early. Philadelphia and Detroit, you couldn't go and be a Republican observer. In Atlanta, all sorts of hijinks with the alleged broken water main. There wasn't a broken water main. That didn't happen. And we do see video of them pulling something out from under tables. You don't know what they are, what they end up doing with them. We know that in Arizona, when Cyber Ninjas did a deep dive, you had election files that were deleted. That's against the law there. People should have gone to jail for doing that. And we also, they found that a bunch of ballots that had been counted should not have been counted. They should have been eliminated, just disregarded, because they weren't done right. Either people didn't live there anymore, people were voting more than once, they had many duplicates, and there was enough question in Arizona by Cyber Ninjas that was well beyond the margin of error, where Trump could have certainly won and not have it given to Joe Biden. When you look at the movie 2,000 Mules, and I hope that you'll see it, don't take my word for it, go see it. When you've got 2,000 Mules, which uses geo-tracking along with video surveillance of these Zuckerboxes that Mark Zuckerberg paid almost $500 million to finance, a bunch of drop boxes that should not have been legal. You have to have legal drop boxes in certain places. They were being stuffed. You see it in the video. It does raise a question, according to the movie, that five states could have been up in the air, at least three strongly, and Trump could have won rather easily. So to call people election deniers or election fraudsters or whatever, the big lie tellers, that's somebody trying to make you shut up. That's somebody trying to make you no longer question the fact that there were major issues with the 2020 election. And I remember when the 2020 election happened, and there were so many questions still going on, by January 5th, which was the special election for both Senate seats in Georgia, people were asking me, do you think that they're not going to cheat in this election in Georgia? And I said, well, with all the questions that came up in November, I would think that we're going to be watching like a hawk. And somehow, a couple of horrible candidates win in a very red state in Georgia. I don't think they have any shame, those who are doing all they can to get their people to win. I don't think they have any shame, those who are trying to get rid of the America First or Trump-backed candidates. I don't think that they have any shame, and they will, if they can, cheat. There's no way almost a full day later, in a great state like Arizona, we should not know who won that primary yet. At 80%. Carrie, is it still 80%?
I believe so. I'll double check.
Do me a favor. Yeah, if you don't mind, keep an eye on that throughout the show. And we'll update that as we go. I mean, obviously, Carrie Lake has the wind at her back, and she was doing very well, polling very high. Suddenly, it's a very, very tight race. And you've got people, again, you're not going to be able to denigrate people, voters or candidates, by calling them election deniers or fraudsters or whatever, because we as Americans, as an inherent right, better than any other country on the planet, have the ability to question authority, to question government, to question election boards, to question secretaries of state, to question, you know, members of legislatures in individual states that should be making the laws about elections. How is it with the technology we have in 2022 that we don't yet know who won the Republican primary in Arizona? That's just stupid. That doesn't make any sense at all, to be honest with you. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you taking the time. It's going to be Matt in Minneapolis. Matt, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, I was just curious if you knew that in Pennsylvania, the Republicans actually blocked them from counting the mail-in ballots early. They knew this was happening weeks before, and they knew that they wouldn't have an accurate count with mail-in ballots, especially considering that, like, Democrats were going to use more mail-in voting because they were more worried about COVID. And Trump was even warned that he would look like he was ahead in Pennsylvania and that he would lose that lead later. And what you think of the fact that Republicans said that they couldn't count those ballots early?
I don't remember any Republican telling Pennsylvania what they could and couldn't do. What Republicans have the power in Pennsylvania to say don't count the ballots? Because the Republicans on Election Day, on 2020 and the Election Day, just keep this in mind, and I know that you know this, you sound smart, they literally did not allow Republicans within 6 feet to observe to make sure that the ballots were being counted right. So what Republican in Pennsylvania had the right to tell them don't count the votes?
I think it was like the state house. I was actually looking up several articles before I got online here to make sure that I had that right, because I read it at the time. But if you looked at, there were several news stories leading up to even before the election saying that in Pennsylvania, they will not, their rules did not allow them to count mail-in ballots until the polls had closed. I mean, I don't think that anybody,
I mean, that would make
really
sense. That would make
that
sense that you would.
True.
It would make sense that they would count them on Election Day. But you saying several news stories doesn't really tell me the story. It's just you saying that. So do me a favor, send me an email if you'd like, and let me see the actual news stories. Also, keep in mind that mail-in balloting in Pennsylvania and in several other states are certainly still in question, because they weren't just mail-in balloting; they were dropped off at drop boxes. A mail-in ballot actually goes to the election place. A Dropbox ballot is something that you certainly get in the mail, but then you drop it somewhere. And a lot of these boxes weren't authorized by the actual legislatures of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, and several other states. So keep that in mind as well. Have you seen 2,000 Mules?
I have not, but I did hear that Bill Barr came out and said that it was basically.
Oh, I don't care what Bill Barr says.
I was curious.
It doesn't matter.
Feel like Bill Barr.
Yeah, I don't care what Bill Barr says.
Trump in the back.
I don't care what Bill Barr says. No, I don't really care about that. What I care about is actual science, and geo-tracking is science, and so are videotaped, you know, drop boxes where people are seen shoving several ballots into boxes. So that's what counts to me. But I got to be honest with you. I'm not really sure why, Matt, it would be an issue to wait until Election Day to count the ballots. I mean, that makes sense. But I don't know any Republican that has the power to say you cannot count these early. Why would you want to count them early?
Well, I mean, I think if they come in early, you can count them.
Why?
And then you'll have less to do that night, right? I mean, if you're talking about getting the results the night of, but you've got all these mail-in ballots that are coming in, especially,
yeah, count them.
You know, during COVID, mail-in voting was much higher than it's probably ever been, right? Especially because Democrats
absolutely
were going to mail-in
absolutely
vote because they
yes
didn't want to come in.
Yes.
So I think they got overwhelmed with that. And at a certain point, you know, a lot of these people are volunteers. You know, do you make them work until 6 a.m. the next day?
Yes.
Do you make them
yes
work
you do
30 hours or 40 hours?
70.
They're not paid.
Make it 100.
Right? Like,
make it 100 hours. 2,000 hours. See, it doesn't bother me.
Mean,
if Matt, if you volunteer to be an election worker and to count ballots, you know the job is to count the ballots until all the ballots are counted. So don't volunteer if you don't want to do it. I don't care how many hours they had to work. I don't feel bad for people who volunteered. Don't volunteer if you don't want to. Nobody held a gun to their head, right?
I mean, these are people that would lose their jobs if they couldn't.
No, I couldn't hear you. Matt, I understand what you're trying to do, but you're doing very badly. I don't think you understand. I asked you a simple question, and instead of giving me some other answer that I should feel emotionally attached to the ballot counters, let me ask you again. Did somebody hold a gun to their head? Did they have to do the job?
Okay, so you're saying if you volunteer...
Matt, let me ask you something. Are you this passive-aggressive in your regular life? Because you're not answering anything I'm asking you. Let me ask you again. Did they volunteer, or did somebody hold a gun to their head and make them do it? One or the other. Give me an answer.
I mean, so you're doing
horribly. I'm going to put you on hold. You just can't do it. See, here's the problem. You called in, and you thought you were going to twist and get your way through and be passive-aggressive and beat the talk show host. You're very bad at this. I've been doing this 32 years. So if you want to have a conversation, I'm not going to hang up on you yet. You're still on the line. I didn't hang up. You're on hold. And if you're talking, I know that I sound like I just sounded when I was talking to you, but you're not on the air. Let me try it again. Did somebody hold a gun to their head, or did these people volunteer to count the ballots? Matt, go ahead.
You don't think there's a difference between volunteering
you can't answer
to
that.
Work
so you can't answer
at
it.
An election?
You're not. I'm gonna put you back on hold. Are you? It sounds like you speak English. Sounds like it is your first language. It sounds like you're very good with it. The problem is, in your life, you use passive aggressiveness and you use questions as answers, and you get away with it. When you call my show, this is my sandbox, and you're not going to get away with it. So you've asked me a bunch of questions that I've answered directly. Let me ask you again. Did somebody hold a gun to their head, or did they volunteer to be poll watchers and count the ballots that day? Yes or no?
To their head, Joe.
What's that? You were on hold. I couldn't hear you.
To their head. Nobody held a gun to their head.
So they volunteered by the actual definition of volunteering.
And you think that volunteering...
I'm going to put you back on hold. You're asking me a question. I ask the questions, and you don't give answers. You ask the questions, and I give you answers. Why can't you do this? Are you that bad at conversing with people? Are you that bad? Again, you think you're on the air right now. You're not. You're on hold. I'm going to ask you some very simple questions, and I want simple answers. Matt, when people volunteer, and you and I both know the definition of volunteer, that means they're going to give of their own time, no emotions attached, no hours put on there, unless they volunteered and they were told you only have to work 5 hours. They have to they're volunteering and they're working to count the ballots until the ballots are counted. Right, Matt?
I don't know that that's the deal.
I'm going to put you back on hold because you can't answer the question. When you volunteer to count the votes, you stay there until you count all the votes. Right, Matt?
I don't know. Is that the deal?
God! Listen, I get that you're a liberal. I get that you hate that there are questions about the 2020 election. I get it. I understand why you've got questions. You are easily indoctrinated from the left media, or you hate Trump so much that you wanted him to lose. But when there's science involved in geo-tracking, and we've got video of people actually stuffing a bunch of ballots in boxes that were financed by Mark Zuckerberg to the tune of almost $500 million, you as an American should want simple answers to simple questions. And because you were losing, I mean, literally, I put your ass on a platter and handed it to you. Because that was going on, you couldn't answer the simple question about volunteerism. You wanted me to feel emotionally attached to the volunteer, the poor volunteers. How long should they, should it be 15 hours? Should it be 30? It should be 5,000 hours until they count every ballot, or else don't volunteer. Because when I volunteer for something, I know what it entails. I don't understand why we couldn't have a real conversation. This is why people in this country are so polarized. They're so at odds. Because of people like you who don't want to have a real conversation. People like you who are only passive aggressive. People like you who can't answer a simple question with a simple answer. Instead, you want to answer with another question as if you're going to win somehow. You're not going to win not having the conversation. So no, I didn't feel bad for the poll workers. I didn't. No, I don't feel bad if they didn't count votes before the actual election day. Wasn't it also Pennsylvania that 3 or 4 or 5 days later you can still accept the mail-in ballot, which is bogus? You shouldn't be able to accept any ballot after election day. But we couldn't get into any of that stuff, Matt. You know why? Because you just couldn't get away from your talking points. You didn't call in to have a conversation. You called in and tried to trick me. Let me help you out. You're not smart enough to trick me. Good try, though. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hi, glad to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. There's a lot going on, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Let's go. Calls coming in. And by the way, I'm not frustrated by calls like that. I really do like mixing it up. I like to have debates. I like to have back and forth conversations. I like to disagree with people. I like to do it in a respectful way. And I will always answer the questions. I have no problem answering the questions if I know the answers to them. The problem that I have is when somebody calls in and refuses to answer questions because now he's in a pickle. Now he's painted into a corner. So let me ask questions and pull out emotional strings. Are you going to make him stay for 30 hours? The poor volunteers. Dude, they're not at war. They agreed to count votes. And the job wasn't done until you counted the votes. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. I just checked the latest out of Arizona. Karen, unless you have something different, I still have 80%.
I do too. Yep, it has not moved.
Does it make sense to you as a journalist that
no, we
haven't seen more than 80% in the last few hours?
No.
And it's a day later?
I don't understand why. I don't.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get some sort of answers here. And I'll stay in contact with Kerry Lake as well. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com, the best-selling Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. It's just great. We've got four of them in the house. Wherever they are, it smells like a thunderstorm just came through. Fresh and clean, just like you need, right? Got the proven Oxy technology that quickly destroys viruses, odors, mold, and more. And people everywhere are buying these things. 265,000 plus have been sold. You know that it works. Any odor is going to disappear when you use the thunderstorm. I mean, litter boxes, trash cans, cigarette smoke, dirty diapers, and more are no match. And best of all, no filters to buy. You could save $200 right now on a 3-pack of the thunderstorm air purifiers. Doesn't take up any floor space either. You plug it right into the outlet. Smells that nice. It's a fraction of the cost compared to other air purifiers that can go for over $600 and do take up floor space. Put one in your basement, your bedroom, your family room, your kitchen, anywhere you need clean, fresh air. With this special offer, you're getting three units for under $200. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Put in discount code PAGS3. Save $200 right now. EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code PAGS. Then the number 3. Shipping is also free. Make sure you get on that right now. Let me go to the phone lines. Let me say hello and welcome to line one. It is Amy in Kansas. Amy, what's going on? Hi.
Well, hey, Joe.
Hey.
So here's what I wanted to add to that conversation. For the very first time, I volunteered, quote unquote, so I thought, to be an election worker in the poll in our election that happened yesterday, as well as early voting.
Yes.
What I didn't realize that is even in my county, which is not that big, it's a large county in Kansas, but it's not Pennsylvania or Philadelphia area.
Right.
We are paid, and we are paid a daily rate. So A, it isn't volunteer, it's paid.
Yes.
B, the job is until the job is done. So you get open and you're there until either the equipment is taken down or the votes are counted. And that's the job, not the volunteer. So I'd be curious if Pennsylvania is actually volunteer or paid, because I would challenge that whole premise.
Oh, it's a good question. I mean, we'll try to find out. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I don't understand why you can't just have a result when you're done counting. Literally, a tweet went out last night from Arizona saying, okay, we're done for the night. Pop, pop, pop. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning. Like, what? What are you talking about? Count the votes. It's literally election day. And election day should be the day that we all go and vote. Election day should be the last day your ballot can be received. If it's received the day after election day, you lost your vote, you disenfranchised yourself. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We're going to move on to other stuff. There's a lot more going on in Megyn Kelly next hour as well. Make sure you email me, joepags.com. Scroll down to the bottom, click on contact. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show. The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. It's the Joe Pags Show. Bottom of the hour, it's going to be our friend Megyn Kelly. We talk about a lot, including the word police in this country, including do you turn down somebody to be in your talk show if you don't want to help him? I don't have people on my show necessarily to help them. I have them on my show because it's interesting, and I think that you guys and gals in the audience will enjoy what he or she has to say. And we've been very lucky in that people that we've had on have done that. We also talk more about her Air France experience. Did she get the fifth bag back? And we talk about Also, the changing language in this country when it comes to those who are trans and what's being forced on us by these organizations. Really cool conversation. We've got part one today, part two tomorrow. You're going to want to make sure you stick around for that. Plus, Carrie, you'll love this. I posted a cheesy machismo look at the gun show picture over on Instagram today. What?
Well, I got to look at it so I can make fun of it.
Well, it came up in my memories.
It's not a recent one. Okay.
It's literally my gun show.
Really? Okay.
Are you looking?
Hold on.
Because it's the gun show and it's the gun show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. The gun show at the gun show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not following me on the Instagram, it's Joe Talk Show. JoeTalkShow. Go there now. Follow me on Instagram. See the picture that I posted earlier today.
Oh, wow.
And you'll see what I mean. It's the gun show.
Okay.
Am I right?
You'd be right. Yeah.
It's the gun show at the gun show.
That would be a gun show. Yep.
Just putting it right out there. So go and check that out. Follow me on the Instagrams. And I don't do the Instagram. Well, you can still click the link that I posted.
Yeah, that's what I did.
You know what I mean? Just click the link. It's that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It's kind of simple. So go there and check that out. Do me a favor. I want 1,000 likes on that today. It's 200 now. Is that asking too much? 1,000?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah.
I got 25,000 followers on Instagrams. We've got 5 million listeners. We can't get 1,000 likes in that picture?
Well, you know, maybe a little hard, but we'll see.
Let's see what you got. Joe Talk Show. If you're a Second Amendment rights believer, at Joe Talk Show what? Why not?
Yeah, that's true.
On Instagram. You'll go and check it out right now, and we'll talk about I want to know if you get 1,000. That should be easy. That should be like, you know.
You think so?
Waking up in the morning for 1,000 hits. All right. Okay. We've got Megyn Kelly bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about this Kansas abortion vote from yesterday and the two different takes from the same Twitter account of Joe Biden on the same story on a Wednesday. Yes. Let's go. Carrie Lockie, how you doing?
Great.
Polo getting it done. Sam and the Hizzy, come on. Let's go. Cabbage patching it.
I really should stop that.
Running man.
Can't wait to see you dance.
Shaky head. No, you're not going to see me at all next hour. It's going to be all you. Gun show. Is that Carrie in harmony? You got it. Red Hot Chili Peppers, by the way. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Hump to Bump. It's actually called Hump to Bump, right?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Just look at it. What's that song? Now, I had a guy email me today. Hour two, break three, what song did you come out on Monday out of the bump? Right out of the commercial break.
Tell him.
Like, I don't freaking know. I don't know. I was off Monday. It was my birthday. I didn't even work Monday. I have no idea.
Yeah. Sometimes I get this email. Yeah, I heard this commercial last week sometime between noon and 9 o'clock. I was wondering if you could help me figure out what that was. It's like, come on, man. I don't have a clue, people. I don't have a clue.
Now I'm getting this. I go to Instagram and the page is completely blank. No, it's not.
It is not. It's right there. I just looked at it.
If you can't find my Instagram account, just go to joepags.com, joepags.com. Click on the Instagram logo. It'll take you to my page. It's either the gun show. It's not really that difficult. I love you like brothers and sisters, but it's not that difficult. All right. Let's talk about this Kansas law. Now, yesterday, while the election was going on, I was getting people who were emailing me saying, or I saw some news story somewhere, that the wording of the Kansas abortion law story, or the addition to the Constitution in Kansas, was being worded wrong, that yes really meant no and no meant yes. Did you hear any of that, Carrie?
No, I didn't hear that.
Okay, if you can, give me the final result on this, because Joe Biden has taken two different angles on this today, or whoever is tweeting his on his account. It's not him. What do you have?
Fox News, residents of Kansas have voted against an amendment to the state's constitution that would have given lawmakers in the state the ability to regulate abortion. With Tuesday's vote, Kansas became the first state in the nation to vote on an abortion-related issue since the Supreme Court's ruling to overturn federal protections for abortion granted under the 1973 landmark case Roe v. Wade. The constitutional amendment, backed by a campaign named Value Them Both, would have given elected representatives the ability to pass legislation regulating abortion in Kansas, which was restricted after the state Supreme Court previously found the 1859 Kansas Constitution grants a natural right to abortion. At the time the AP called the race, voters had rejected the amendment by more than 20 percentage points. In 2019, the state Supreme Court struck down a ban on surgical abortions in a 6-1 decision, ruling the state's constitution protected women's choice to engage in that activity as a right.
Okay. So Biden, who used to be for the states getting the issue of abortion back, when he had his lucidity, when he was not the dementia Joe that we see now, he actually was for Roe v. Wade being overturned and that the states have the rights because that's federalism. Today, on his account, two things on this issue. Number one, I don't think the Supreme Court, or for that matter, congressional Republicans, who for decades have pushed their extremist agenda, have a clue about the power of American women. Last night in Kansas, they found out. So, Carrie, as a journalist, when you hear the president of the United States tweet that, would you agree with me that he's saying the state had the right to do something and the state of Kansas did something?
Yes.
Okay, so he's a state's rights guy there. Oh, and then he says this as a follow-up, like back-to-back. Congress must codify the protections of Roe as federal law. And if Congress fails to act, the people of this country need to make their voices heard. Huh? Now there, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're smarter. You've been telling me that for 17 years.
True.
He appears to be saying the federal government should have purview over abortion.
Yes.
Okay. So the two tweets that he did back to back. I don't think the Supreme Court, or for that matter, congressional Republicans, who for decades have pushed their extremist agenda, have a clue about the power of American women. Last night in Kansas, they found out. So he's cheering on Kansas for a state and the voters of that state doing what they felt was right for their state. Am I surprised that Kansas would say you can't ban abortion? Yes, I'm surprised by that. I'd like to see the wording of the ballot measure. And then he follows it up by saying Congress must codify the protections of Roe as federal law. And if Congress fails to act, the people of this country need to make their voices heard. Let me take you a step further. Karine Jean-Pierre is the press secretary for Joe Biden. She basically is the mouthpiece for the president when he can't speak. Now, he doesn't speak to the media very much at all. So, in other words, the only thing we get from him is really from her. So she's asked about this today, and then she drops this bomb.
From day one, when the Supreme Court made this extreme decision to take away a constitutional right, it was an unconstitutional action by them, a right that was around for almost 50 years, a right that women had to make a decision on their bodies.
I'm sorry. So she appears to be saying it was unconstitutional to take away a constitutional right, the right to abortion. Carrie, as a journalist, and you've read the Constitution a time or two, does the word abortion appear?
No, it does not.
Well, darn it. Because there's that 10th Amendment, which says if it doesn't appear here, and if the federal government doesn't have it under its purview, then it goes back to the states. That's called federalism. I know it's a confusing term for those who are watching and listening, but don't get confused. It sounds like that means the federal government gets it. It doesn't. Federalism means states have rights. And the states we're supposed to be, by design, they're supposed to be more powerful than the central government. There is no constitutional right to abortion. But she says when the Supreme Court made the extreme decision, which is not extreme, to take away the constitutional right to a woman's reproductive or some crap, whatever she said, it was unconstitutional. Now, all anybody in that audience had to say, and I don't know if anybody did, but all anybody in that audience in the in the pool of reporters had to say was, can you show me in the Constitution where it says abortion? But of course, nobody will. So let me just give you this soundbite again, because this, listen, I don't mind going after Karine Jean-Pierre because she's a racist. She's a through and through, start to finish, horrible racist person. She is, because I've looked at the old tape. You don't believe me? Go look her up on MSNBC or CNBC or CNN or whatever the hell she was on. Every single thing was about racism, was about white supremacy, was about race, race, race. That's who she is. I don't give a crap that she's a lesbian. I don't care that she's black. I don't care that she's the first black woman. But what did she say? LGBT person or something? I don't think she said gay, but she is. None of that matters to me. Because if she's doing the job right, I don't care. The fact is she's doing the job wrong. Now, I have to decide if she's really, really stupid, which is a possibility, or if she's this racist, horrible, I hate America person who will lie from the podium every day. Now, you might be saying, well, wait a second. Biden's the person that puts these words in her mouth. That's untrue. She buys into this crap. She's not saying it because she's told to say it. She's saying it because she believes it. And she's actually holding back. When she was on MSNBC, I think it was MSNBC, back in the day, she was every single thing. She hated everything about everybody. The patriarchy, the white supremacy, the fill in the blank. So let me give you that soundbite again. When she talks about the Supreme Court, maybe, I wonder if she's talking about Judge Thompson on this one. Carrie, think she's talking about Judge Thompson?
I do not know, but I'm sure she meant justice.
Because there is no justice.
Yeah.
Or Judge Thompson.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's Karine Jean-Pierre again.
From day one, when the Supreme Court made this extreme decision to take away a constitutional right, it was an unconstitutional action by them, a right that was around for almost 50 years, a right that women had to make a decision on their bodies and how they want to start their families.
I mean, she couldn't even say the word unconstitutional. It's pretty lame. So there you go. That's the take out of Washington. Now, we've got a lot of listeners in Kansas. I want to know what the wording was. Carrie, is there a way to find out the wording on the ballot for that abortion measure?
Let me try to find something.
See if you've got anything on that. That'd be great. But the people of Kansas that are listening want to hear from you. Karine Jean-Pierre has made it clear that the Supreme Court made an unconstitutional extreme ruling by ruling that the word that doesn't appear in the Constitution doesn't apply to the federal government, sent it back to the states. Joe Biden, or the person tweeting, probably Susan Rice, tweeting for him, says, hey, you found out in Kansas, didn't you? State did the right thing. So he's four states' rights there. And then he says we have to codify it in Congress somehow, the right to have an abortion, which, of course, is not in the Constitution. Even if they voted in Congress, even if they voted in Congress, the House votes, the Senate votes, he signs it. Guess where it goes then? To the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court's going to again say the federal government doesn't have purview. Carrie, go ahead.
So I found this from The Guardian. Why the language on the Kansas abortion ballot is so confusing. So they're saying voting yes would mean supporting an amendment that would change the Kansas state constitution so it no longer protects abortion, overturning a 2019 state Supreme Court ruling. Voting no would mean the state constitution continues to protect abortion rights.
Okay, so people in Kansas, literally, if they thought they were voting no because they're against abortion, they were actually voting to keep abortion legal in that state. They were voting yes, it would be to overturn the 2019 move. So yes would have been no abortion, no would have been yes abortion.
Right.
Well, that's pretty freaking confusing. I want to hear from my friends in Kansas. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. We're coming right back. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
Glad to have you. Thanks. Megyn Kelly about 10 minutes from now. Make sure you stick around for that. We appreciate you taking the time. Lots going on. Lots to get to. Great interview. Always fun to talk to Megyn. Going to go to the phone lines in a second here. Let me remind you. It's 255 likes now, Carrie. Well on our way to 1,000.
Oh, yeah.
Not asking for a lot, are we?
On your way. Yeah. What did we start
Well, on
out
our
with?
Way to 1,000.
200. So you got 55.
What?
You got 55 more. Okay. Cool.
What?
How, when we first started talking about this, how many likes did you have?
None. We added 255 from the very beginning.
No, you did not. I saw that.
Well, 256, no. just added one as we're talking.
Okay, okay. No time at all.
Instagram.
Yeah.
At Joe Talk Show, at JoeTalkShow, The Gun Show is happening today. Go and check my, it's two pictures. Well, there's a video, then there's that picture. The Gun Show.
Two guns
at
one.
The Gun Show.
Yeah, yeah.
At least two guns.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So go there, check that out. I'm just telling you, you get to 1,000 on the likes, and it'll make me feel good. And it's my birthday week.
Carrie,
do we do that?
Do we do that? No, I know millennials do that crap. It's my birthday month. No, it is not. You get one day. One day.
It's my birthday year.
No.
My birthday quarter.
Your birthday year. No, it does not work that way.
888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. Let me tell you about Superbeats. Superbeats are great. Superbeats will make you feel good. Superbeats will give you that energy that you need, and it's not about having four or five extra cups of coffee. It's not about getting an energy drink. It's not about getting a bunch of sugar in a soda or even a sugary candy snack. That's going to be quick energy that falls off and you want to go to bed. Nope, you're going to want to get energy that lasts you throughout the day. Your circulation, your blood pressure, your blood flow, also intricate when it comes to the energy that you need to get through your everyday. So why not change your morning routine and add two Superbeats soft chews? They're actually heart chews, good for your heart. They support a healthy blood pressure. They taste delicious, non-GMO beets combined with grapeseed extract. You're gonna love them. And they're portable. You take them with you in the gym bag. They're in my gym bag. In your purse, in your pocket, in your console, in the car. You're always going to have them. I used to forget doing the powder in the morning sometimes. You're not going to forget these, and they taste delicious. Go right now. We got you up to 45% off plus free shipping at joelovesbeats.com. Joelovesbeats.com. Their best offer available anywhere. Joelovesbeats.com up to 45% off. Again, joelovesbeats.com. Get your Superbeats heart chews and get them right now. Let me go to the phone lines. Peggy is in Kansas. Peggy, did we call it? Was this worded weird?
Not really. I read the thing on the online because I had friends and family that were against. We're going to vote no, and I was like, I was very strong yes because I'm very pro-life.
Right.
So I got on there and read it, and the thing that I voted no. Just for the fact that it said the legislation was going to determine abortion laws. And I think that should be left up to the people of the state. Because right now, even though we are every Republican state Congress, I don't want us to turn into, have our legislators have the power in the future to say, no, we're going to be like New York and allow you to abort this baby after it's born.
That's what they're saying,
they
though.
Chose to.
Well, that's what they're saying. So, a no vote meant yes to abortion. A yes vote meant no to abortion.
It meant that the state constitution was not changed. So the laws that were already in place with the state for abortion would remain.
Right.
So, but then the vote for the value of them both would give that power to the legislatures.
But right now in Kansas, you can get an abortion. And those who don't want that to happen would have had to vote no to make that go away. And you voted no.
But yes, but if the Congress would put forth a heartbeat law or a total abortion ban, I would vote yes for that. But I did not want the power to be in the legislature's hands. I wanted the power to be in the voters' hands.
Peggy, I got you. I hear what you're saying, but I think, Peggy, I think your conversation with mine, with me, just now, proved that it was very complicated. And because you're against abortion, but you voted no, which is interesting. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Megyn Kelly next.
Joe Pags.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. It's always an absolute pleasure to have somebody on who I've been just enjoying the work of for so many years, and we've become friends. It's Megyn Kelly. Megyn, how are you? Good to see you again.
Hi, I am great. How are you, Joe?
You are great. I agree with you. So I float around the YouTubes, and I don't like going on there because they demonetized me, and I'm a bad guy because I interviewed Mike Lindell, for God's sakes. But I just love your show, and I can't watch it when you do it live, so I go back and I watch it later. And you told the story. By the way, Guillaume and Luis say hello. And by the way, it wasn't Luis. That's where you screwed it up, Kelly, because you kept on calling him Luis. Had you called him Luis, I think they would have come through faster. For those who don't know, you had a debacle with Air France that you made very public, and you told a story. You know what you were reminiscent of, and I hope you take this as a compliment, of Paul Harvey telling a story. I could not stop watching. It was amazing. Yeah. What made you decide? I'm going to just lay it all out, and let me just tell this story like the Kelly family or the is it Brunt? Is that your husband's name?
Yeah, like I'll let
I've had him on.
Mrs. Brunt.
Right. We love Doug. But, Kelly. Right, but you told that story so well. Just give me, if you don't mind, give us the Cliff Notes on what made you think, I'm going public with this, and it was so great the way you delivered. I loved it.
Well, I knew that my experience was going to be representative of what millions of people were going through without the platform. And I knew that it would be somewhat cathartic to people who are also going through this bag nightmare to hear somebody say it and express the frustrations that they were feeling with it. And to let people know that it can happen to you, whether you are well-known, whether you're not well-known, whether you have dough, whether you don't have dough.
Yeah.
You know, we're all just a bunch of serfs when it comes to these airlines. And somebody needs to call them out on their bad behavior. So the long and the short of it was, we went to Italy for a week in June, the five of us, my family. And when we flew back, we flew Air France both to and fro, and they lost not one, not two, not three, not four, but all five of our bags. My three little kids had the little roller bags, which we should have just carried on, but Doug and I were checking our bags, so we might as well just check them all. And all five got checked, all five got lost. Mm. And for 3 weeks, I called hundreds of times trying to reach Air France, trying to reach the JFK baggage people, who are real, they exist, they gave me a number, and could not speak with a human. I just kept getting the Air France infuriating artificial intelligence. That's Guillaume and Louis. And I grew to hate them. I don't have 7 hours a day to stay on the phone with Air France AI or with the JF. And it was driving me insane. So I started to just document it, like how insane the levels would get and how bad the communication was and how ridiculous the AI communications were and off point and fake and setbacks to square one when you thought you'd advanced at square 10. And at the end, I just think, you know, I had to spew it. I had to, like, express it. And now we are a month, 6 weeks later. And the final communication I had from Air France, fake news Air France, was I was waiting on one more bag.
Yeah.
I got the bags back. So I was waiting on one more bag. And they said, tomorrow, your two remaining bags will be back to you.
But you're only expecting one.
To the end, they screwed it up.
All right. So did you ever get number five?
I got it. Yeah. We now have all five bags back. And I never, ever spoke to a human. I have yet to speak to a human at Air France.
What blows my mind is that you get the overwhelming feeling they just wanted you to shut up and go away. We're going to keep on hitting you with AI, going to keep on hitting you with fake Guillaume and fake Louis. Just call him Luis, and it would have helped out, Kelly, I'm telling you. They just wanted you to stop. Now, I had a similar experience, not the same. It was with an airline that rhymes with Smallegiant. We were in North Carolina. We live in Texas, and we were flying back, and they called us, or they texted us 1 hour before the flight. Your flight has been canceled. Have a nice day. We're like, oh, well, what flight are you going to get us on? We couldn't get a hold of anybody. We ended up buying $2,000 worth of tickets just to get home because I had to go to work. And we still, to this day, I've never heard anything. They beat me down. They did not beat Megyn Kelly down. But when you told that story, Megyn, tell more stories like that where it's just you and the camera and the microphone, because it was so great. And when you dropped the F-bomb, I burst out laughing. I went, holy crap. Like, it's just,
you know how it is, Joe? It's like one of those things where, as a news person, and all my background is, well, first as a lawyer, but as a news person, you don't really, when you're talking about yourself, you feel weird. It's like, if you're talking about yourself, you're off subject. And I just presume the audience has no interest in my life because I'm there to do good interviews and bring out something interesting about somebody else,
right?
Not about myself. But sometimes when it reaches like this certain level, you've got to do it. And in those moments, I will share, you know, my personal story. Maybe I'll start doing it more because I did love Paul Harvey.
And a lot of people, I mean, that went viral very quickly. A lot of people saw that. I talked about it on my show the next day, and everybody watching and listening to me went and checked it out as well. It was so well done, and that sneaky F-bomb just really, wow, this is so, like, raw and real. She couldn't even not say that. And I thought it was good. I'm glad that you have all the bags back, but I really do think they just wanted you to go away. It's Megyn Kelly. Check out the Megyn Kelly Show, noon to 2 p.m., Monday through Friday on SiriusXM, and also go in and follow her on all the platforms. You're on Rumble, too, aren't you?
On Rumble, on YouTube, on all of them. It's funny because today we did a show where we took a deep dive into COVID and these nonsense studies that came out in Science Magazine proclaiming that it wasn't a lab leak, that it was natural origin in the market.
So dumb.
It was a great, great segment. But we were laughing internally because we're like, there's absolutely no way that this is going to live on TikTok because we do have a presence on TikTok. I mean, anything about COVID, they censor. It's crazy how open and blatant it is.
Well, it is. I was on TikTok. In about 4 months, I got 130,000 followers. But then I realized that they were going to suspend me at least once a week if I just said anything that wasn't exactly conforming to what they wanted. So I just left it dormant. And I'm starting to do these little videos that I do over on Instagram. But yeah, check out Megyn anywhere that she does what she does, because it's just that good. I wanted to talk about the word police a little bit. Demi Lovato has announced that she is now again comfortable with being her and she. And it turns out she just felt an equilibrium between her masculine and feminine sides last year, so she wasn't sure which bathroom to go into. That's why we had to call her they and their and them and this. And I did a video yesterday where I said Z and Zim and Za. I don't know what to say anymore. Megyn, as journalists, and you and I have a background in journalism, a strong background in journalism, we want to just tell the story. We just want to tell the truth. But we literally have a woman who is so confused that she's changing her pronouns depending on which interview she's doing, and we're supposed to roll with the punches and just go with that? I mean, how do we even take that in what we do?
I mean, Demi Lovato really sort of exposes a lot of the problems with this whole issue, because I think she's a lovely person. She's not one of those people who's running around hurting people, you know, like who's the woman, Chrissy Teigen, who's married to John Legend.
Yes.
Like Demi Lovato seems like she's a nice person, but she also seems deeply unwell. She seems confused. She seems upset. She's had a lot of meltdowns. She's had a lot of open mental health problems that she's spoken openly about. So I'm not particularly surprised to see this from her, but I do think the waffling and the confusion underscores the danger of this pronoun game and why places like Canada have some nerve making it illegal for you to decline to go along with the pronouns of choice.
Right.
Right. I mean, like, if you just stick to science and biology, you should be safe. You should be just fine. It may be offensive, but it certainly shouldn't be criminal to stick with actual facts and biology like it is in places like Canada. Right. But the more I was thinking about the Demi Lovato thing, the more I was thinking, I really want to give some more thought to what my viewers and my listeners say to me a lot, which is they object to me pushing back on the transgender ideology. They know I do that. But to me, nonetheless, respecting the pronouns, right? Like, I'll say Caitlyn Jenner is a she, for example.
Right.
And a lot of my viewers maybe have the same, and listeners say, like, don't do that. It's not consistent with, you know, your questioning of this whole, you know, just ideology. It's being shoved down our throats. And I usually just say it's a matter of respect. The more I think about it, the more I'm really wrestling with it, Joe, because it isn't factual. It isn't true. It's subject to the whim of the person, which puts you in a position where you sound like a fool, like the Demi Lovato thing. Like, I have to go from she then to a year of they, then back to she or she and they, depending on her mood.
Yes.
And what, next year it's he, and I'm an ass if I don't go along with it. I'm somehow a big, no, this is wrong. And I think we should be in a place where if we just stick to biology, we're safe, we're respectful, and nobody should bother us.
I agree with you. And to take it to the level where you went, if you and I were sitting in Canada right now, if we didn't say she, her for Demi Lovato today, we continue saying they, we could be in trouble. We could be breaking the law. And if tomorrow she wakes up and says, you know, I really am going to be a he today. I'm feeling very masculine. And I feel like there's a lot of testosterone. We, again, might be breaking the law. That's why, you know, Jordan Peterson, his argument makes a lot of sense. If you tell me, listen, I really am going to I won't say you because you can never transition. You are who you are, obviously. But I've had Caitlyn Jenner on the show. Caitlyn Jenner called me at 11:30 at night on a Saturday night wanting to come on. Brad Parscale was helping Caitlyn Jenner run for governor in California. I know Brad very well. So I get this call. I'm like, holy crap. And we had a real talk. I said, you have to understand, I was 9. when Bruce Jenner won the decathlon. I was 9 and I wanted to be you. You were on the Wheaties box. Every man on the planet wanted to be you. Every woman wanted to be with you. How do I now call you Caitlin, and how do we have this conversation where I'm calling you she and her? Megan, it was the greatest conversation I've ever had with somebody who was really not worried about an agenda or worried about an audience. This was off the air. And I got a better understanding. I have no problem calling Caitlyn Jenner Caitlyn Jenner. I know it's Bruce Jenner. I know that he's an XY. I know that. But at the same time, I can respect the person. But here's somebody who's not going to waffle. Here's somebody who says, this is how I'm living. This is who I am.
Like Elliot Page, same thing.
Go ahead.
I see a distinction between the name change, you know, yes, and Caitlyn. I would always call Caitlyn Jenner Caitlyn. I mean, they change their name, that we go with it.
Yeah.
But like the pronouns is where people get upset. And I've never really been one to get upset. I've sort of just gone with what people want me to call them.
Yeah.
But the more I think of like the trans activists, not the trans community, but the trans activists have gotten so rabid and crazy in their authoritarianism that it's time for some pushback. You know, you need look no further than what they're doing in women's sports, right? What they did to UPenn. And when the UPenn swimmers spoke up, they were told by UPenn to go get therapy.
Yes.
So they could deal with the fact that a biological man was crushing them and breaking all their records. That's messed up. And what's happening in all these cases is typically a biological man who's pretending to be a woman is taking away women's records and beating women at their own sports.
Yes.
And we as actual women are told to shut up. If we say anything on behalf of ourselves or our daughters or our sisters, we're somehow in the wrong. And I think it might be linked somehow to the discussion we're having about pronouns. Caitlyn Jenner's not actually a she. She's not actually a woman.
Right.
And is not actually a she. Caitlyn Jenner, I wouldn't say she's a woman. I would say she is a trans woman. And I think it is important, as we're seeing more and more, to make a distinction. With all due respect to people who are trans, it's not the same. A woman is not the same as a trans woman. And I don't know if we need a new pronoun, you know, the Z, whatever it is. But like she is a pronoun that describes a woman,
yes,
which a trans woman is not.
Individually, of course, we can say she and her and show respect to Caitlyn Jenner. When Leah Thomas, who's William Thomas, who is, and we say the word biological like that gets us off the hook. It's a dude. It hasn't changed anything physically. Walks around naked in the locker room with a bunch of women. They're uncomfortable with it. Can't say anything. I'm the father of 5 daughters. I've got a wife and I've got a mother. I've got 3 sisters. I care very much for people like you. I want to look out for women being women and not eliminating them from society. So when you societally tell me as the LGBTQ whatever group organizations, if you yell at me that I have to do this and get in line or else I'll go to jail or also be persecuted or thrown off Twitter or thrown off the air, that's where it crosses the line for me. I can be respectful to Leah Thomas if this person really is transitioning because he's confused, or Caitlyn Jenner, without the entire society telling me either I do it or I'm out. You know yeah, what I mean?
I also, like, my pals over at the Daily Wire are always, they won't do it. You know, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, they won't use the pronouns of choice. They only use biological pronouns.
Right.
And they think it's sort of engaging in somebody else's delusion. You know, there's this delusion that, like, you need to have your arm cut off. I don't know if you've heard about that, but, like, Keith Ablo once told me about this, and it turns out it's true. There's this, like, delusion or mental illness where you really believe somebody's got to cut off your arm or you're going to die. And no surgeon would cut off your arm just because you
right,
really, really believe it's got to be cut off or you're going to die.
Right.
And that's how they see gender dysphoria. You know, you're not a woman if you're a biological man. You may
yes,
think you are, but the answer to your confusion is not for the rest of society to have to pretend along with you that you are the thing you now claim you are when we all know you aren't. And it shouldn't be considered disrespectful for us to just stick to what's real. It's not done with the intention of hurting you.
Yeah.
It's done with the intention of being factual.
That's it for part 1 of my special interview with Megyn Kelly. Part 2 tomorrow on The Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. We appreciate Megan coming on today. Part two will be tomorrow. You know, it gets to become like a 30-minute thing when we sit down and have a conversation, Carrie. I think it's all interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is, absolutely.
Her perspective is going to get into more journalism stuff tomorrow. Who do you trust? Who do you support? Where do you get the truth? How do you know it's true? And at one point, she actually says, just watch the news once a month.
Once a month.
That could be a pretty good idea. You never know, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll have part two tomorrow. We get into much more stuff. I had to get the Air France stuff out there. Now, when I urged you a couple of weeks ago to go and watch that, did you?
I did not, no.
Of course not. You know why? Because you just don't listen to what I have to say. You just think I'm a jerk. And you're like,
true.
I'm not doing it.
That
you
isn't
tell
true.
Me what to do.
I'm sure I forgot. I'm sure. I meant to.
By the way, 289 likes.
Hey.
It's not even.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Flying off the shelves.
Nice.
Listen, Carrie doesn't think I can get 1,000 likes on that picture. Go right now and prove her wrong.
No, do not bring me into that. No.
Totally has to do with... prove her wrong. You know how negative she is with me all the time. So go to Instagram at Joe Talk Show, JoeTalkShow. Go there. See the picture. Let's see them. They want to take that gun away from me, Carrie. I don't think they should.
There's nobody trying to take that gun away from you.
Oh, yes, there. Did you see what Congress did last week? That gun is on the list.
Oh. Then I guess they are.
I don't think they can get it out of my hand. I'm just going to say.
Go and like that picture, right?
I don't think they can get that out of my hand. Do you?
No, probably not. Oh, that
gun show at the gun show. Go check it out. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Should I tell people what you said when the interview started?
Sure, yeah. Go ahead.
What did you call it? You called me a kiss-up?
I did, yeah.
Kiss-up, yeah.
I thought I could use another word, but I said I'll go with something gentle.
So in other words, that's the support you're going to give your partner when I have a good interview like that.
Well, you know. It'd be nice if you.
Because Megan asked about you today. I said, she's not a nice lady. She's not a nice lady, is what I said.
She doesn't know who I am. Yeah.
I compliment you all the time. You're great. You're my news anchor. You're the best journalist. You're the one. High five. Hey, look at how nice that shirt is. You give me crap the rest of the day.
Okay. Thank you, I guess.
How many times have you told me nice shirt? How many times?
Well, I don't see
you. In 17 years.
I can't see you. I can't see you.
Whatever. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Listen, here's the deal. There's war going on right now. You know about that in Ukraine. Inflation's happening. Over $30 trillion in debt. We're all facing it. It's starting to look like 2008 all over again, when millions watched their retirement savings disappear, while those who invested in physical gold and silver were, in fact, protected. This is tangible stuff. This is not paper money that can be devalued by printing more of it. If you've got $50,000 or more in your IRA, your 401k, or savings, you could be at risk again. Thousands of Americans are using an IRS loophole to add physical gold and silver to their retirement savings. So call right now, 855-936-GOLD, to get a free gold kit. It's a gold IRA kit. Learn how thousands are protecting their retirement savings, adding $10,000 or more in free silver to do it. 855-936-GOLD. Gold Co. is the company I recommend for gold and silver. They've helped place over $1 billion in precious metals. We could be looking at a recession worse than 2008. Don't wait. Get on this right now. Call Gold Co., G-O-L-D-C-O. Go to goldco.com or call them at 855-936-GOLD. 855-936-G-O-L-D. Make that happen right now. Much more coming your way. Lots to get to. Stuff that's going to make your face hurt. Plus, we've got a doctor on to talk about anxiety during this down financial time, anxiety after COVID. He's written a great book, and you're going to want to hear all about that. Keep it here. Joe Pags coming back.
This is the Joe Pags Show. Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Lots going on, lots to get to. Lots to talk about, for sure. Hopefully you're having a perfect day. I don't care. I'm just looking at the agenda. I'm telling you, I'm looking at what I have to do this hour. I don't think I
have
extra
plenty
time.
Of time. You do.
I really don't. You know what?
And
after last hour, mm-hmm. I took a poll, mm-hmm. and because of the negativity and the nastiness last hour, I don't know that I have to do this.
I was just kidding when I called you a kiss up.
One guy literally asked me if I'm going to still play the Bon Jovi song, even though you just pulled that last hour. But this guy actually brought that up over in the chat room. I'm like, listen, I get it.
Let's just play it and get it over with. Okay.
Really?
Press the button.
I'm not pressing anything.
My head.
Say play it like I would say it.
Play it.
Really? That's all you got?
I don't know. That's all I have today.
You got to say it. Give me something.
Play
from
it.
The gut.
Play it.
What the heck was that?
I don't know.
Mike, I'll need that. I'll need that, Mike. Thank you. I don't know Mike's there or not.
He isn't.
Wow, 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 wow. You should. Carrie loves the oldies. You know, it's an oldie at this point. It's not
sad, but true.
It is. It's a, what year was that?
Like,
do we
1986,
know?
1986.
Oh, OMG. It's when he could sing still.
Hey. Don't knock him. Don't before knock the two. John. Johnny. For the what? Oh, no.
You're going to call him Johnny?
I'm going to call him Johnny. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Call him Johnny?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I mean, you think I'm going to kiss up with Megyn Kelly, which I'm not.
Oh, my gosh.
I started out by saying, hey, I've been watching you for years. You're amazing. You're good. And then we got into the questions and we had a great conversation. What am I supposed to say? Thanks for coming on.
Okay. I'm just saying.
What am I supposed to do?
A kiss up when it comes
to. Can you imagine, though, if I had John Bon Jovi on? Can you imagine?
My goodness.
When is your 60th? Like in 2 weeks? When is your 60th birthday?
It's about, 20 years away.
Oh, 20 years. Okay. Okay. In
maybe
space years or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay, fine.
So, but if I had him on, what would happen? Would you just fall apart?
I think I would. I really, really do.
Now, you know, a lot of these interviews, I do them before the show. Would you make yourself available to take part?
Yes, absolutely. That's like a once-in-a-lifetime.
We do a three-box.
That's a once-in-a-lifetime thing for me.
John Bon Jovi, you, and me.
Can it just be me and John Bon Jovi?
You would do the interview? You'd be happy to do the interview? You would be like, blah, 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 blah.
I know, but I'd be such a fangirl. It'd probably be pretty embarrassing. And you
this is how it would go. Remember in 86 you did Living Like a Prayer? Or Living on a Prayer? Remember that? In 86? That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Great? That's what it would be.
That would be me. I know.
Every award you've ever won would be taken away. They're like, the AP would be calling, please send back the awards that you received.
I would embarrass myself, but it would be so worth it.
You got up today? Did you take a shower and comb your hair when you got up today? Did you? I'm telling you, it would be the suckiest interview ever, but it would make your entire existence. You'd be very happy.
It really would. I would be ecstatic, yes.
Now, what if he just said, okay, sing me your favorite Bon Jovi song, would you?
I think I'd have to, yeah.
Bill Medley made me sing.
Yeah, yeah, you have to. I mean, yeah, got to do it.
I just love you, John. It would be horrible. It would be horrible. But it would
like
again.
Yeah.
Now, are your children sick of this crap?
Oh, they don't like Bon Jovi.
Because their whole lives, that's all they've heard,
not
right?
Their cup of tea. Yeah, so I've heard. Yeah. They don't care.
So when he comes on the radio, the eyeballs go straight up. They just start rolling their eyes.
Yeah, pretty much.
And mom's singing, didn't she?
I'm always singing, absolutely.
Did you tell them the deal? Because I haven't heard from either one of them.
Oh, you know what? I don't think I did. I kind of forgot about that.
You can make mention of that.
Yeah, I'll go home and mention that tonight to my
You don't kids. Want your sons to make $100? You're rude.
Of course I do, but not at my expense. Not at my
For those who don't know, I challenged her children, Luke and Jake, that if they catch mom singing, like, full-throated in the car, to Queen or Bon Jovi, and they record it and send it to Uncle Pagsy, $100.
Now, is $100 a piece or $100 together? They'd probably want to know.
Well, whoever sends it to me, it's going to be from one phone, I would think, not from both.
Oh, okay.
Suddenly you'll do it so they can get some money?
It's $200.
If it's for both of them?
I might consider that.
I don't know. We'll think about it. All right. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. This story about Talcum X, Sean King, who's a white guy pretending he's black, his wife said that his racial background is complicated. He has said that the white man whose name is on his birth certificate, there are two white people on his birth certificate, Carrie. So legally, he's a white guy.
Yeah.
But that wasn't really his father. His real father, his biological father, is a light-skinned black man. That's what he claims. Sean King is a Black Lives Matter activist. He's a black activist. He's a black activist racist against white people, although in reality, all signals, all signs, all evidence points to the fact that he's a white guy pretending he's black. He's basically the male version of Rachel Dolezal. Well, it turns out he's also like a grifter. He's like a scammer, allegedly, because he took a bunch of money that he got for supporting BLM and he spent it on himself. Now, you've got, listen, I love dogs. You got to be high if you think I'm paying this kind of money for a dog. You know what I'm saying?
Fill me in. From Yahoo News, controversial Black Lives Matter activist Sean King's political PAC used donor cash to purchase a $40,000 dog that King used as a family pet, according to a Monday report. King's PAC Grassroots Law has handed over the sum in a pair of payments to Potero Performance Dogs in California since December, the Washington Free Beacon reported. The PAC sent Potero $10,000 in December, followed by a $30,650 payment in February. A days after the second payment, King posted on Facebook about welcoming a new member of the King family, a Mastiff and Prize show dog named Mars. The post has since been deleted or made private. The Grassroots PAC is ostensibly aimed at boosting political campaigns for candidates aligned with King's soft-on-crime mentality, but the organization spent nearly as much on the dog as it has on candidates. Grassroots contributed a total of $56,000 to various political campaigns since 2021, just $16,000 more than it reportedly spent on the animal. Mars's stay with the King family was not long-lived, however, as Potero posted Instagram photos of the dog, winning top prize at an American Kennel Club competition in July. Potero explained in an earlier Instagram post, Mars has a little too much energy to be a family dog, so he came back. The Instagram posts from Potero have also since been deleted or made private. King has faced a slew of controversies over his career as an activist, with even other members of the Black Lives Matter movement denouncing him as a fraud.
Okay, so let's just take in the facts as we know them. Sean King is an ass wagon, fact. He gets $40,000 into a political action committee that he's put together, where he's supposed to be spending the money that's donated on candidates that align with him and with those who have donated the money. Politically, he takes $40,000 of it, spends it on one dog. Because for Carrie, for $40,000, you can get about 1 million dogs. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a dog, right? You got the hot dog.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
How much did that cost you?
About $500.
We got a beautiful German Shepherd, Gunner. I think he was $300. So, I'm $40,000 for a dog? Yeah. Care, am I missing something? I mean, Pete Buttigieg would be, dude, buy an EV.
And that's the easy fact that they gave him back. So, where did that money go now? Did it go to the pack?
Let me ask you this. If you were dumb enough, and you're not, but if you were stupid enough to take political campaign donations and buy a dog for $40,000, would you put it on social media?
I would absolutely not. Now, another story I saw that he said he bought it for protection because he needed security, extra security. But he's already given the dog back.
I mean, so I could be wrong because I'm not a dog expert, but you can buy several pit bulls for a whole lot less than $40,000.
Oh, indeed, yes. Yep.
And be as protected as you want to be, Shawnee.
Yep, yep.
$40,000.
Hmm. On one.
Yeah, you have any old Camaros I can buy with that? Not only really nice ones, I mean crappy Camaros on the side of the road. I could buy 17,000 Camaros for $40,000. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like a dollar, like $2.50
each. I could buy
some
really great Bon Jovi tickets for $40,000. Right? Yeah.
Plus, you could buy
VIP
a year's supply of wine.
Passes.
The kind of wine you drink.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
You serious? That's like a decade's worth of boxed wine.
Man, that sounds awesome.
So can you imagine being so delusional? This is my word, delusional. That you're getting the campaign money, you suckered somebody into believing you're going to do something right with it, and you bought yourself a dog. Now, the argument that it's for his safety, which you just said, and I know that he said that because he claims that he can't get a gun in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So he says he got it for safety and security. I would like to ask the people that donated the money, are you cool with him spending it on that and not on the candidates who believe in what you believe? You're not going to have that question answered because then Sean King would have to admit that he's a piece of crap. And by the way, again, all evidence points to the fact that he's not black. Why aren't more people calling him out? Now, I did see today on Newsmax, I saw a list of some of the names that he's called online. And I don't have them in front of me. They were very funny. Talcum X is one of them that's being used. I think that's the most used one. But this guy is a fool. And I just say, even the Black Lives Matter people have come out against this guy. Yeah. Now, how bad must you be? The organization you say that you support is calling you a grifter. I mean, that's pretty bad. So let's take a lesson out of this. Don't spend any money on a politician, a candidate, or a political action committee until you know what he or she stands for and what he or she will do with it. And again, I understand PACs are available, but I have never donated to a political action committee, ever. And I don't know that I ever would, because there are too many hands involved. A political action committee takes that money, and it's managed somehow, and they decide what to do with the money. I'd rather give it to the specific candidate that I like. And I know that at political action committees, you can spend a lot more money. You can only do like $2,600 a candidate or something like that when you're donating to a candidate. That's actually what got Dinesh D'Souza in trouble. Instead of $2,600 or $5,200 for the family, he donated like $20,000 to a friend that was running for election. He didn't do it through a political action committee, and the Obama administration punished him for it. But it's just that simple. This is money that you worked hard for. Don't just give it to a Sean King. Even if you agree with what he says he believes in, he's never done anything to prove that he can manage your money right. And now we know the idiot's buying a dog. Come on, man. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Got a couple of stories on California when we come back. We definitely want to talk about that. And at the bottom of the hour, it's going to be a doctor who's got a brand new book out. In this book, we talk about the anxiety we've all faced because... What was the kind of worker? Essential was the word that was being used, right, Carrie? Essential worker.
That is right. Yep.
You and I were considered essential.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people watching and listening were not considered essential. I think that's disgusting that anybody was told you don't matter more than the next guy, or that we somehow doing radio mattered more than somebody else. I think it's essential that anybody who had a job was paying bills and putting food on the table and so on. So how do you bounce back from COVID? How do you bounce back from this financial decline? How do you have your kids bounce back from not hanging out with their friends for 2 years? We talked to them about all that and then some. Meantime, got to remind you that Congress will play games with the money. They can raise the debt ceiling. It's such a stupid euphemism. They're not really raising anything. They're just putting us further into debt, whereas we can't do that personally. So if you're buried in bills and trying to keep up with all the credit cards, signature loans, internet loans, and timeshares, get off the treadmill, get some Total Financial freedom. If you owe more than $10,000, the team at Total Financial has been doing a great job for a long time, 15 years plus, helping people like you resolve their debts and cut payments in half. Give them a call right now, 800-833-9444. Ask for the free book, The Debt Dietitian. You get it by mentioning my name. Tell them Joe Pags told me to call. Get that free book, The Debt Dietitian. Learn how easy it is to cut your payments. You're going to appreciate their team. They're like-minded people, and they've got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. No complaints ever. Again, if you're in debt, don't just take it and work, you know, 7 extra jobs. Get a hold of them and find out how you can make your financial burden a little bit lighter. Call Total Financial right now, 1-800-833-9444, 800-833-9444. Do it right now. We're back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Hey, great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. There is a ton going on. Bottom of the hour, it's going to be an author, John Deloney, Dr. D. He's a doctor, and it's a great conversation. We just get into all this stuff about exactly what it is we face as a society after COVID, during a financial crisis, and so on. Good guy. I want you to stick around and make sure that you listen to that. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. Got to tell you about Eden Pure Great Thunderstorm Air Purifiers. If you haven't gotten the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier, I'm not really sure what you're waiting for. You want to pay $600 for an air purifier? I don't. We got a three-pack for under $200, and that's the deal that's going on right now. Uses proven oxy technology, quickly destroys viruses, odors, mold, and more. People all over the nation are raving over how well the thunderstorm freshens their homes. Musty, mildewy smells just vanish after a few seconds with the thunderstorm being on. Over 265,000 of these sold. I mean, it's a ton. We've got four of them in my house. Make sure you get yourself some of these. Right now, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for the whole home protection. Three units, you'll get three for less than $200, a fraction of the cost compared to other air purifiers. Also, doesn't take up a bunch of space. It plugs right into the wall. It doesn't take floor space at all. With a special offer, getting three units for under $200, go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in discount code PAGS3, and save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code PAGS3, P-A-G-S, the number 3. Shipping is free. So, Carrie, just got this big, long email from the guy who called me last hour, 2 hours ago, who couldn't answer a direct question.
Yes,
and was playing games about the Pennsylvania vote, and they didn't want the votes to be counted beforehand, and Trump really lost because they counted all the mail-in ballots on Election Day. And although they went to bed with him in the lead, the next morning he lost because the mail-in ballots were counted. And the guy didn't want to answer any questions, didn't want to really have a conversation, didn't want to have a debate, certainly. Didn't want to go back and forth, have any sort of a verbal argument. He wanted to use passive-aggressive tactics and means to try to show that I didn't know what I was talking about, and he did. So when I brought up the fact that we should not stop counting until we count all the votes, no matter how many mail-in ballots came in, he went to the emotional because he got his ass kicked on that. And he said, well, these are volunteers, and how long should they stay? 12 hours? I said, sure. He said, 30? I said, yep. 100? Yep. I said, 5,000 hours, if that's what it takes to count all the votes before you go home. And every time I asked him, do you agree with me that a volunteer gives of his or her time and they promise to do a job? Well, he just keep asking questions. Big, long email. I'm a bully. I'm a this. I'm an egotistical, the other thing. Because the guy just couldn't have a conversation. He's the kind of guy who in person would say, oh, man, I love your show, and take a picture, and then light me up on social media about what a piece of crap I am, mm-hmm. and that I'm fatter or smaller or shorter or taller than he thought in person.
Right.
At the end of the day, you've got somebody who had a real opportunity. It's hard to get through on the phone lines. It is. And I'm proud of that. He had a real opportunity to go at me. Let's really have this conversation. Here's why Trump didn't win, and that he could fill me in. When I bring up 2,000 mules, he didn't see that. He doesn't want to hear about the technology used. The guy just wanted me to shut up and let him talk for 5 or 6 minutes, spew whatever talking point he got in the email today or whatever MSNBC told him to say, and then leave saying, I really got the talk show host. He is so hurt by the fact that I wanted to mix it up. He's so hurt by the fact that I knew what his talking points would be. He's so hurt by the fact that he wasn't able to get through and change my mind to get in lockstep with his robotic thought process on elections that he wrote me this big... Now, again, I'm talking about it, so he's getting a bit of a thrill anyway. But the idea that you're going to somehow change a 56-year-old man's mind when I know what I know, or you're going to make me think that I've got too big an ego after doing this for 32 years... Or that I just showed everybody why somebody with a varying opinion should never call in. Dude, you did very badly. And what you thought that you actually accomplished, you didn't. You did horribly. And now somebody from Anonymous is calling in. I'll bet that Anonymous person is that guy, Kevin. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. My interview with Dr. D when we come back. Stay here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Really glad to have this young man on. His name is Dr. John Deloney. He's got a book. It's called Own Your Past, Change Your Future. John, am I pronouncing the last name right? Is it Deloney?
Yes, it was a pretty rough childhood with the name that rhymed with the lunch meat. Yes.
I can't imagine. Well, my name's Pagliarulo. I had Bagliarulo, Pigliarulo. We had everything. Well, we actually got a letter to the house one time that was to the Pagliarigatoni family. I kid you not. They just thought I was an Italian dish. It was very strange. Doc, it's great to make your acquaintance. You've got this book out, Own Your Past, Change Your Future. We talk a lot about anxiety. We talk a lot about what it is that we're facing in our society today. And we're going to talk about the R word recession, which we are in one. But before I even get there, let's talk about the 2 years of isolation, forced isolation, governmental forced isolation, where we now, many of us work online. Many of us do school online. Many of us haven't gone back to our jobs yet if we're servers or do something that wasn't called essential. Let me start there. How do you take it as a human being if somebody looks at you and says, you're great, but your job isn't essential, therefore you're not essential? I mean, that's pretty rough, isn't it?
Yeah, Mike Rowe was here in the office with us when everything was shutting down, and he mentioned that, and I had never considered that when we told 30 or 40 million Americans, hey, y'all are essential workers, everybody else, y'all just go home and we'll send you checks. They made that was a catastrophic psychological undermining of all of us.
Yes.
Because one of our core values is we want to matter. We want to contribute to the things we're doing every day. And if suddenly when things get bad, if they're like, you just go home and we get a pat on the head and a check and we'll take care of you. Man, that drains meaning from everything.
And we want to feel like we're needed. We want to feel essential. And by the way, every single person that was told wasn't essential was, because they've got food to put on the table. They've got bills to pay. They've got mortgages or rent or car payments or school or whatever. And to say you're not important, but I somehow, John, was important on the radio. Broadcasting was important. You're somehow important. It didn't make me feel good. It didn't make me feel like I was somehow better than. It actually made me feel bad for them. And then what the end result was, we're sending you a check for doing nothing. Then people got disincentivized. Can that happen? Are we as humans, I guess, complex enough or simple enough to say, well, you're going to send me a check to not go and wait tables. I guess I'll just stay here.
We're designed to take the path of least resistance. This abundance that we experienced the last 100 years here in the Western world in America, our bodies didn't grow up that way. We grew up hunting and gathering and scavenging for food. And so, yeah, if someone's just going to send it to me, I'll just take it. And what we don't have the psychology to understand is on the back end of that, man, it just melts us. We're not designed for that. We've got to be around other people. We have to be working and moving and doing things. Solving problems and accomplishing things. And without that, look around. Then we become an anxious, chaotic, angry mess.
He's an author. His name is Dr. John Deloney. Get his book called Own Your Past, Change Your Future. You know, what you just said is really important because, we are going to take the path of least resistance. Although, I pat myself on the back a little bit by saying, always been somebody who liked a challenge, always been somebody who wants to compete, always been somebody who, if you offer me something for free, I'd be skeptical and tell you I'd work for it. But that doesn't mean that you're bad if you don't do what I do. I happen to be abnormal that way. But when it comes to revving yourself back up and getting back into society and saying, I'm gonna get dressed and go see people today and touch grass and feel sun on my face and go to a job where I now feel value for what it is that I bring to the job, how do you make somebody feel that way again when we are again, either enjoying or dealing with the path of least resistance?
You got to look at the data, and the data lets me know that when my body recognizes that I'm lonely, that I found myself on an island, and if you think back 2,000 or 3,000 years, that my tribe got up and left without me, I'm probably going to die. It is more damaging to our bodies than smoking, right? Well, so I got to just know, if I continue to sit at home, passively accept the world as it comes to me, my body's going to shut down and quit, and I don't want that life. And so ultimately, you've got to choose your heart. Right. And so I think about somebody who's struggling to lose 100 pounds. That's really hard. And being 100 pounds overweight every day on your knees and back and relationships and work, that's really hard too.
Yes.
So it's not a matter of one's easy, one's hard. They're both hard. You got to choose your heart. And right now we have 2 to 3 years of stay at home, stay at home, stay at home. The greatest thing you could do for your neighbor is not to invite them into your home, not to give them a warm place, not to give them a meal. It was to stay away from them. And then suddenly the floodgates open back, and it's like, go get them, everybody. We have to lean into that discomfort, walk head first, throw our shoulders back, put our heads up and say, I'm going to go choose to be uncomfortable for a season until I can reacclimate to being around people. Because if I don't, I'm going to slowly shut down. I'm going to take my family, my friends, my loved ones with me.
Dr. John Deloney, go get his book. It's Own Your Past, Change Your Future. Is there a difference in generations or age of people when it comes to shutting down, not essential, no personal touch between people many times? And the reason I ask this is we had kids learning online instead of going to school and interacting socially. These are the years where fundamentally, we learn how to deal with other people. We find our lifelong friends. We find the girl or the boy that we're attracted to, whatever. We find a teacher that we can relate to because we have a similar experience. Is it different when a kid tries to reacclimate and goes back to class than maybe you or maybe somebody my age?
I mean, I've got a 6-year-old, man, and she missed,
I've got a 7-year-old, by the way. Yeah,
she missed pre-K and she missed the first week of kindergarten, and the rest of it was everybody was covered up. And so I've seen some delays in my own little girl, and it's challenging. There's anxiety everywhere. To answer your question, yes, I just it's a personal thing for me because I'm living it. But I do think here's the deal: adults experience anxiety too. We just we go buy things, or we can drive ourselves to Taco Bell and make it go away for a little bit, right?
That's true. Yeah.
We can get online and just like angry rant post something to as a little bit of a Band-Aid over our own anxiety. So I think the anxiety is the same. What's different about my daughter and me is she is completely powerless. And when kids are powerless, they look in the mirror and they blame themselves for their feelings instead of blaming others. And that's where I think we're going to have a 100-year debt to pay on what we did to this generation of kids.
Wow, really? It is Dr. John Deloney. Go in and get his book. It's called Own Your Past, Change Your Future. This is going to be great for people because they really do want to. I think we have to re-educate ourselves in many ways and how to interact with people. It is different for kids. Not only are they powerless, but they also haven't learned it yet. And you learn
it. Like the skill set.
Right. Exactly right. You learn it through interaction. Let's advance to like college-age kids. I interview a lot of college-age kids with Campus Reform and others, and they had to do online learning as well, or they had to wear a mask the entire time. And when I went to college back in the early 80s, you know, it was about going there and you loved your instructor, or you learned from that professor, or you were learning those skills that you needed for later in life, and you wanted to go see that person you kind of liked. You wanted to go interact with your friends, go grab a drink after class, or on a Friday or a Saturday after your finals. None of that interaction was happening. So you think it's 100-year damage that we're gonna have to deal with?
I mean, if you look at college, I've spent 2 decades as a senior leader at various universities across the country, and mostly in Texas there and here in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And here's what we know as a former college senior leader. Information is everywhere. Going to college isn't about just getting the info. That's important. But what's really important, the lesson underneath that lesson, is how to learn from a professor that's kind of boring, because you can have a boss like that. How to learn from a demanding boss. How to get pushed really hard, further than you thought you could go, and suddenly you find success and achievement. How to deal with annoying roommates. Like, that's the part that makes the citizen, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, we just dumped it all online and said, hey, by the way, it's all the same price. You still got to pay the same for a quarter of the experience. And here's all the data. Here's all the information. Man, I could get that stuff on YouTube now.
Yeah. Right.
I need the social aspect of this.
It's funny. Oftentimes, and in my generation, we would ask somebody for directions. Hey, how do you get there? And then you would say, well, you take a left at this road, you take a right, look for the fork in the road. There's a green sign and a big tree of blossoms. Okay. And that was kind of cool. You and I had a moment. I learned something from you. I now feel like I'm empowered that I can find it. Now we're pop, pop, pop. Here's the address, Google Maps or Apple Maps or whatever the hell we're using. And suddenly we're not talking to anybody anymore. And the computer's telling us what to do. I mean, that's a lost art too, isn't it? I mean, we used to actually stop and talk to people and not Google it. Hey, in 1964, who was that guy who ran for president? And people would say, oh, I remember that. Or my dad used to tell me. Now we just Google it. That's given us some separation anxiety too, hasn't it?
Yeah, one of the great lies of the technological revolution is that it was going to provide more connection. And when I text my wife that I love you, I love you, I love you, I'm giving her information.
Yeah.
I'm not giving her connection, right? Right. And there's a big difference. They're processed in different parts of our brains. And so when my friends text me funny emojis and funny things, they're giving me info. There is an entirely different experience when they're in the room with me and we're playing poker and we're talking noise or having a cigar and we're being silly and talking about hard things. And it's in hour two,
yeah,
when my buddy goes, hey, can I tell you something's going on with my kid? That's when especially with men, we finally get the vulnerability to say something out loud.
Right.
And
right.
All of that has been outsourced to these little digital boxes, and we are paying a price for it for sure.
You know, I've stopped the mad emailing because emailing, you never ever understand sarcasm. You never understand innuendo. You never understand, you can't see the facial expression when you're saying it. I can say something to you man to man right now that you'll get, you'll laugh, you'll enjoy, you'll respond to. I can send you an email, you might hate me. I mean, that's really right. How disconnected it is, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And when, you know, the 70 to 90% of all interactions are nonverbal, and we've just taken all of it away and just made it all black and white text, right?
And I'm Italian, man. I'm always using my hand. I want hand gestures on email, for God's sakes. Own your past, change your future. His name is Dr. John Deloney. John, what does that mean? Own your past, change your future. Does that mean come to terms with what it is that you've been through and take the good and the bad that you've learned from and then do something different?
Yeah, we've really been given two paths forward in our current cultural narrative.
Yeah.
One is you are your feelings, you make up truth as you go, and you are the worst thing that ever happened to you. You're the worst thing you've ever done. That's a label that is fixed on you. You are damaged and broken, and someone's going to have to come from the outside and fix you. Just the kind of like we talked about earlier, just stay at home. We'll send checks because you've screwed up or somebody's done something horrific to you, and that's all you'll ever be. The other narrative is equally insidious, but it's just the other side of the teeter-totter here, which is if you have a feeling, you're weak. What a loser and a coward. Suck up your feelings. Nobody wants to hear about your childhood. Get on with it, and let's move on. And both of those are nonsense. Both they're nonsense psychologically, neurobiologically, they're nonsense emotionally and spiritually, right? So this book is really the new third way, which is if something happened to you when you were a kid, if you were abused, and your body will solve for that for the rest of your life if you don't deal with it. If you've been treated differently because of the way you look, like these things are real and they happen. If you grew up in deep poverty, these are real and your body will solve for them forever. You got to take ownership of what happened. You also have to take ownership of what you've done to contribute to your life challenges, right? And we spend so much energy, man, and I'm guilty number one, right, at the front of this line, trying to go back and edit things that have already happened.
Yeah.
Try to go back and rewrite these sentences. Dude, they're over. They happen. There's a period at the end of that sentence. I have to own what happened, and then I got to be about writing what happens next. And I'm a big, big believer in I get to choose today and I get to choose tomorrow, and I got to own what happened, and I got to move on, man. We got to make this thing happen.
Amazing lesson. Own your past, change your future. Dr. John Deloney. Doc, I appreciate you coming on. Let's talk about the anxiety involved in finances. Of course, we're in a recession, but guess between don't tell anybody. But between you and me, nobody gives a crap that it's called a recession. What we care about is that it's going to cost us $2,000 or $3,000 more a year in gasoline. That right. Beef has doubled in price. That the government tells me, well, just go buy an EV, not a big deal, $60,000 car. Something, of course, I can't do. Or just get a second or third or fifth or tenth job. Then maybe you can put food on the table. So we're all dealing with the finances. Unfortunately, for the majority of Americans, they didn't have enough money to go beyond paycheck to paycheck when the paycheck stopped or when the jobs dried up or when things became so much more expensive. Suddenly, their quality of life changed exponentially. How do you deal with that? Because my drive, and again, I might be different, but my drive is, all right, I'll get the fifth job. And mm-hmm. Our mutual friend Kurt knows that I would do this. But a lot of people don't have the same wherewithal or have stresses and things pulling at them that won't allow them to do that. How do you deal with a financial crisis? And that's really what it is that we're all facing right now mm-hmm. without being overwhelmed with your emotions, your psyche, your anxiety.
So one of the things I did for the last decade was work with people when the wheels had fallen off, whether that was letting somebody know that their child had passed away, or I did a stint there in West Texas with the police department there serving on victim services, like sitting with people when the worst of the worst had happened.
Wow, okay.
And one of the most important conversations we had was controlling the control. But what about this can you control? You can't control what happened. You can control what happens next. Right. And so when it comes to you've got a great job or you've been working two jobs, you got this thing duct taped together. You're just hobbling down with your life. You're just getting under your feet. And all of a sudden gas doubles in price. You can't buy burgers anymore. Right. All those things happen. Continually digesting news after news after news after news does not solve that problem.
Right.
In fact, it pours gasoline on your internal state. You good. Okay. Things are expensive. You know that now. Now I'm going to turn off whatever TV, I'm going to shut it off and I'm going to get about what can I control right here. And you said it best. I have a math problem. If I can't put food on the table, I'm going to have to get a fifth job. This isn't a discussion or a debate or a time to find out what my meaning in life is. I got to eat.
Yes.
Right. And I'm going to begin to ask myself, is this the right town for me to live in? Is this the right job for me to live in, right? I'm going to have some hard conversations with my wife about what schools our kids are going to, right? Because we got to make some real life changes here. But again, I'm going to spend all of my energy on things I can actually control. Any other energy, any other energy spent worrying, ruminating, being raged out is a choice to be miserable. It does not a choice to help you solve your challenge.
And it also stops you from solving the challenges. You're right. If I sit around 24/7 or in all my waking hours thinking about how horrible my life is, I'm not making my life better. In essence, I'm contributing to what's going wrong.
To my own misery.
Right? Exactly right. I can't control the recession. I can't control the price of gas. I can't control whether I should buy an EV or make a solar panel. What I can control is whether there will be food available tonight for my, right, my wife and my five kids. And that's the outlook. But so many people don't have that. If you don't mind, in like 15 seconds, which would be hard, it's Dr. John Deloney. Get his book, Own Your Past, Change Your Future. What advice would you give directly to people listening and watching right now who are ruminating, who are trying to figure it out, and while they're trying to figure it out, they're not doing anything to figure it out?
Right. So know this. Worry solves nothing. It solves nothing. Ruminating, we do it because it feels like it's good thinking, like we're thinking towards a solution. And the challenge with ruminating is the line always moves because it's not about solutions. It's about our mind staying busy. So when I find myself starting to ruminate, starting to have imaginary conversations with people that I'm never going to have in real life, and I always win those conversations, by the way. When I start ruminating, I will literally be walking through my living room and I'll just say out loud, nope. And that is me stopping that thought in process. I'm not arguing with myself because all I'm doing is choosing to be miserable. My wife now, she'll roll her eyes and just start laughing. There's John talking to himself again. But I'm going to stop that conversation because I know it accomplishes nothing.
I think that's great advice. Get the book. It's a #1 bestseller, Own Your Past, Change Your Future. It's Dr. John Deloney. Doc, come back on often. I appreciate you coming on today.
Hey, I'm really grateful for your hospitality, man. Thank you so much.
All right, brother. We're back after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
On, we do have time for some pop culture. Web.
Dirty pop.
Yo. What's happening, Polo?
So, you know, we were talking about Beyonce the other day, changing a lyric or two from her
Spaz,
album.
Yeah.
Okay, so Monica Lewinsky chimed in and was asking if she would change a lyric from a song of hers from 2013 where she mentions Monica Lewinsky in it. And, of course, her Beyonce's fans attacked her.
Of course. That's Polo. That's Sam. That's Carrie. I'm Joe. We'll see you later.
This is the Joe Pags Show.